CliffCentral.com.
This is horrible. This has got to be the worst song we've played in a long time.
It's amazing.
It's not amazing.
It's amazing.
No, it's absolutely
It is the perfect song for the Donald Trump. He should come out to this. Donald Trump should come out to the Hulk Hogan walk-in music.
I like this song. It makes me feel really good and really strong.
A real American. Oh, my God. What a horrible song. Okay, it's by It Lives, It Breathes, and it's Hulk Hogan's WWE theme.
Real American.
The fact that I've never heard this before is a matter of pride.
You don't have a childhood.
No, dude.
Because you're allowed to enjoy wrestling until you grow your first pube. And until that point, it's really amazing.
All right, we got a ton.
Everybody stopped and had a moment and decided not to comment on it.
All right, so many things to get to. We got messages galore. We've got some stories. Oh, holy mother of God, have you heard about the First Lady of Lesotho?
Incredible.
This is a story. Forget about what's going on in America. Forget about the issue of warrant for arrest of Jacob Zuma. That's nothing. The biggest story is happening before our very eyes, and I saw it on social media yesterday, and I was drawn in like a moth to a flame. Yeah. Go on, what do we got?
You know, I don't even want... I think there needs to be a new TV show commissioned. The Real First Ladies of Africa.
This is so embarrassing.
Because
so,
imagine
so bad.
Grace Mugabe in
a
TV show coupled with
this. The chick from the Cameroon with the big red hair and...
Oh!
An Angolan daughter.
Yeah.
Because Jesus, listen to this.
You think the men in this continent of ours are badly behaved, thieving dictators from hell? I mean, I saw Daniel Arap Moi died yesterday at the age of 95 while we were finishing up the show. Mm. I mean, again, a guy who was just... The fact that he got to rule over that place as long as he did just shows you that the people of that country, honest to God, did not know what the fuck they were voting for every time. Otherwise, I just didn't care. And as long as it was... someone who promised them freedom year after year and gave them none, it seems that they were happy enough to keep on taking his shit and shoveling it down their throats. Unbelievable. Not a good person. I'm not sad that he's dead. Bye-bye.
He's 95.
Good riddance.
I mean.
Come and throw his body into one of our morgues that doesn't have electricity. He's 95, so there's not much to decompose anyway. But this first lady, and first ladies, we think the men are badly behaved. Mm-hmm. It seems the women are... even more incorrigible.
Yeah, it's official. The First Lady of Lesotho has been charged with murder. The 2017 killing of the Prime Minister's former wife.
This is Lady Macbeth level stuff.
Yesterday, she spent her first night in custody, and this story is just getting saucier and saucier by the minute as more details emerge. Mm-hmm. So, back in 2017, it was 2 days before the Prime Minister's inauguration of his second term, and he was already in the process of divorcing his former wife. His former wife's name is Dipopelo, yes. just rolls off the tongue very easily.
She was the first one who was murdered.
Yeah, she was the one who was murdered, yeah. So they were going through a bitter divorce, and insert Masaya Tabane.
And her name is Masaya.
She, I think, was already in the sidelines of... attracting the Prime Minister's attention. And I think the straw that just broke the camel's back was the inauguration, where she probably felt like, nah, I need to be standing next to my man at the inauguration, not this Dipolelo lady. And so Dipolelo was just about to go home when Masai came out with a gun and gunned her down.
Jesus.
2 days before the inauguration. So now it's finally emerged because they made quite a rookie error. The Prime Minister called Masai as this killing just had happened, and they had had a phone call conversation. So it kind of pinpoints that they were in this together.
By the way, I've just got to say, this guy's hardly a prize.
Thomas Tabane, yeah, I think he's 80. He's 80 on the dot, actually, now. Yeah.
Useless sack of shit, like most of our politicians in this area of the world. This guy, there's no distinguishing feature or characteristic. You would pass him by without even a remark if you saw him in the shops. And yet... he has been running Lesotho for some time now. badly, but he's still there.
He might be a really a tentative lover.
No, clearly not, because otherwise his wives wouldn't be murdering each other.
Well, maybe they are, because he's such an attentive lover. And he's only got there's only one D in the alphabet, and the rest of the letters are lighting up for it.
So how old... I'm curious, Sia. How old was...
Messiah, I would say, is in her 40s.
Ooh. Okay, and her husband's in his 80s.
Is 80 on the dot.
And the one she killed?
We don't... I don't have those details.
I realize that it's legal to shag people half my age this year. So...
Good.
What, she's half his age.
Good. You're...
Yes, yes.
Half your age is like
16.
It's
19. It's
half plus 7. That's the rule.
Yeah,
that's the guideline. The legal rule is like I can bone 2 19-year-olds at the same time and still have more life experience than
just
them.
Just please don't. Just please
try not to. Yeah.
So the killing happened in 2017. The Prime Minister and his current wife got married 2 months after this killing. Nothing was heard of for the past couple of months up until recently. Now this investigation was taking place. Messiah, in a very innocent move, fled the scene.
By the way, the one she killed was 58.
Okay.
Ah, youngster, spring chicken.
No,
competition.
Shame, man.
Competition.
This poor woman was like, she was on her way out anyway.
I 58, you still?
No, out of the marriage.
Oh, no. Well, it was a bitter divorce. So I think they weren't reaching a settlement. So I was like, I know how to reach the settlement.
I'll settle this.
So yes, she offed the other one.
Yeah. And she's been hiding in South Africa, allegedly. But up until this week, where she actually took herself in to authorities.
I know I'm walking into dangerous territory here. But, you know, we talk often about gender-based violence. And it is a problem. So I'm going to clear that up right at the start, because what I'm about to say is going to piss off a lot of feminists.
Mm-hmm.
And not just feminists. A lot of people who are very reasonable as well. Okay? This is not an example of gender-based violence, but it does tell you a story. And if it can happen to a prime minister's wife, it can happen in ordinary families and probably does at a far more regular rate. There are, just as there are terrible men who do terrible things, unspeakable, indefensible things to women. There are women who do horrible, unspeakable, indefensible things to other women, sometimes motivated by something as base as jealousy.
Mm.
And it is about time we take stock of this and treat it with as much seriousness as we do gender-based violence, which is spoken about all over the place, on every network, in every media outlet.
Something violent happens, and you can attach a political agenda to it.
Precisely.
But people are mostly very unaware, very self-serving, and shit.
And here is an example, and it's happening at the highest level. I mean, this...
The first lady.
It's just unreal that this can be allowed to happen among people who are supposedly the leadership of the country. And of course, it's going to come out as just a terrible... love triangle gone wrong.
Just because there isn't a political name for this, like
gender-based violence, for example, doesn't mean it's any less bad.
Right. Hedonic acclimation. What's the term for?
What's hedonic?
No matter how good your shit is or how bad your shit is, you get to a point where you acclimate to it. It's a psychological principle, hedonic something or other, hedonic stamina.
Bolelo, you know, normally know these
but
things.
Anyway, I don't know. The point is...
Is he making it up?
If you make...
Do you think Gord's making that up?
If you suddenly become way wealthier or given a whole shitload of cars, you acclimate to it over time. You might be the most thrilled person in the world for a couple of months or even a couple of years because you won the lottery.
Uh-huh.
But then you eventually come to accept that as your reality and the same level of day-to-day irritation about shit that irritates you.
Yeah.
You don't suddenly become immune to wanting to murder the chick you're jealous of because you're very wealthy and in a cushy position.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like wealthy leaders or celebrities or whatever are less inclined to do stuff like this. Because you said a woman in her position, she's just a human.
No,
and
sure.
Then there's another human, and they were like, okay. Cock-like things happened.
Mm. All right.
And this is why our friend Socrates said, what, Gareth? Don't idolize people. This is what happens.
Well, Thomas Tabane, the current Prime Minister of Lesotho, is saying that actually he is now, he has offered to resign in his position. And actually, it's not because he was involved in the murder at all. No. It's because, well, he's 80 and he's now old, so that's why he's offering to lose.
I'm 80, my wives are killing each other. It's, and then there's also sometimes forms to sign and I can't really see them.
So
scheme, I'm going to resign and spend some of this money.
The hills are alive in Lesotho with the sound of murder.
Oh my God. What a story.
I'm sorry. I so want to dig more into this story.
That was the best.
I want to look at footage from the inauguration, because how did he be inaugurated and know what he had done? I want to monitor body language, which reminds me of a new series that I just got into. It's on Netflix. It's called I'm a Killer. First-hand confessional accounts of people who have murdered people.
So it's not only the lady folk that are obsessed with the murdery folk. Mm. It's also our rainbow-colored brethren that also love the murdery things, the serial killery things.
But if we're talking about like gender, it reminds me of a Louis C.K.
What do you mean,
C.K.
the gay community?
Yes.
You say, oh, right.
Our homosexual friends.
Everyone is a killer. Mm. Everyone can be a killer.
It's just such a weird thing.
Can be.
That lady, people, girls, female humans, tend to be so obsessed with murder and serial killers, and it seems as if, based on a sample of one, so too are you, my fabulous friend.
And it goes back to what I was going to reference with Louis C.K. He once said, the thing with men is, if they're pissed with you, they'll screw you up physically. But if women are pissed with you, oh, they'll screw you up mentally.
I've dealt like with men male will, narcissists, and I like, know that they'll screw you up mentally
but
too.
But they can punch you, and you know, you fight, and you get it over and done with. Women,
there was a time.
You sit, simmer.
They're insidious.
I know. I'm
I
like
do
that.
Know,
I'll
like
simmer.
When Cooney McGregor fought Cowboy Poloni, and afterwards they were better friends, because that's how a rule cements your friendship after you cement one oak in the face. But
just one more time, Cooney McGregor
and Cowboy Poloni. But they fought in Boot Fighter Championships. Okay. Last week.
All right, here are some messages. First of all, Gord, people like Imabulalelio hate the most successful club in the last 20 or so years. 20 league titles to prove 30. That statement. Haters will always hate others for achieving success that the hater will never be able to achieve.
I accept people reveling in our struggles. It's just, it shouldn't be the only topic in the news.
Uh-huh.
So what do you say to that, Mbulelo?
I say most...
Right of reply.
No, sure.
What did Socrates have to say on the matter? Philosophy moment. This philosophy moment brought to you by boring.com, where you can subscribe to boring things for a very high price. Boring.com, bringing you the philosophy minute with Mbulelo.
Well, Socrates did say, along with Aristotle, that we're always on the precipice of violence, since we were talking about that. So we must always be careful, Gareth. We are all murderers. We are just blessed with something called restraint, some of us. Talking on the most successful club in England thing, you're incorrect there. Chelsea have got 5 Premier League titles over the last 20 years and have also won a Champions League. So Man United no more than successful than Chelsea. Yeah.
Actually, they are.
Guys, I told you both. I only read this message because it comes from one of our listeners who's really interested.
That
totally
moment of boring philosophy was brought to you by Stillnox. For absolute sleep, hard all the time.
All right, Elson, what's up, dude?
Hey, good morning, Gareth. Gord and Bulelo.
Yes. How are you?
I'm not sure if C is there.
He
Fantastic.
Was.
Yes, thank you very much.
Go ahead.
Hey, okay, cool. So I want to speak to you about Trump.
You told me you don't want to talk about Trump anymore.
I didn't. You do. So, you know, whenever I listen to the podcast, which is every morning when I'm driving to work, I always yell at the radio. So I figured, because I tuned in this morning, and the little bit that I caught before I went to shower was you speaking about the State of the Union address. So I figured, hey, listen, let me call and have a chat with Gareth concerning some of the things that I felt he said over the time. Concerning Trump and the kind of person he is. So obviously being from Zim, where the president who was before our current president was a racist, which we know about. And I also went to school in South Africa, where you get Julius Malema, who runs around and says all kinds of racial stuff. I see that as who he is. And because that's who they are, the policies and the things they represent obviously come from those values. Trump, before he became president, did a lot of racial things, which I do not think they stopped when he became president. In the 90s, when his business was going pretty well, he was sued twice successfully. Number one, for discriminating against black people because he did not want black people to become tenants in his buildings. He was sued twice for that. There are a number of other things, including, I'm not quite sure if you watched the documentary on Netflix about the Central Park Five.
Oh, yeah.
When They See Us.
Yeah. When They See Us. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. When this story came out in the news...
Yeah, he basically said it was those five, that it was their fault. And they were to blame.
Not only that, he said he'd bring back the death penalty so that we kill these people.
And because they were black, that means he's a racist.
There you go. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
Because of his history on discriminating against black people because he didn't want him in his building, that's number one. And number two, lawsuit.
You got two things. Go ahead. No, go on. You got two things that make him an absolute unrehabilitatable racist. Go on.
Great. Whenever he would go into the casino, I would try and get that, but it's public record when he got sued. Is whenever he would go to the casino to gamble, he would ask the manager to remove all the black dealers. And the black dealer who was there actually sued him successfully.
Is this in his casinos? Because maybe he then wanted...
No, any other casino.
Maybe he knew the black dealers were better and that's how his casinos were making more money. Dude, are those three things in any way related to his performance as president?
Well, his performance as president is not...
Are those three things
that I wanted to speak to you about?
Are those three things which are no doubt... marring of his character, right? I mean, they do him no favors in terms of his character. Mm-hmm. And let's take it at face value that all three of them are absolute evidence. I mean, some people would dispute this, but let's say they're absolute evidence that deep down inside he harbors not the best feelings towards black people. Does it have anything to do with his performance as president, the way the Democrats have behaved over the last 2 years, the fact that he won that election fair and square? Does it have any bearing on that whatsoever, Elson?
To some extent it does, and I'll tell you why. Number one, because he's a racist. You did hear about the attack with the KKK, where he blatantly refused to denounce them, and he said they were fine people on both sides.
That's not true. That is absolutely not true. And you are selectively quoting. He went on the record and he said this is unacceptable, and he did say there were good people on both sides, but he made it very clear at the beginning of that speech, and I want you to go and look it up and print it and read it over and over again, and you can call me tomorrow and apologize.
Good people in the KKK?
No, dude, that's not what he said. That is absolutely...
There were good people on both sides.
He said there were good
people.
Meaning
the KKK.
Elson, calm yourself down. Uh-huh. He said there are good people on both sides of the argument. The argument being that they wanted to take down Confederate statues. Now, I'm not going to give you a long history lecture, because just like when Gord, I called you Bored. When Gordon and Bolelo start talking about football, it's boring. Now, you're the one who told me a little while ago talking about Trump's boring, so I'm getting out of this conversation.
I'm actually kind of interested.
Yeah, it's not. It's done. I mean, Elson, I love talking to you, but it's almost like you and I need to have this conversation in person. Because other people don't care enough. Honestly, I don't think they do. Here, for example, is Basitsana, who says, please do not ever take Elson's calls.
Oh. I think Basitsana's mincing her words.
Yeah, I think, Basitsana, you need to just calm down. Now, can we just find out if there are any updates on that naked man in Northcliffe that Pumi told us about?
Dude, Northcliffe Jesus. But dude, if I had a wang like that, I would never wear clothes either.
I didn't see how big it was.
It wasn't a wang, it was a small tree.
Shit, right, good for him. There's a stereotype that keeps coming around.
I didn't say it had anything to do with him being black. I've watched enough porn to know that they're East European men with wangs like that, but that's a wang.
Sandile says, I just laughed uncontrollably. Is Borivor's curtain a real thing, or did you just come up with
it now? That's been a thing forever.
Sorry, Sandile.
Whenever you cross into a place where people still say Transvaal, that's, you know, you've crossed the Borivor's curtain.
It's just great.
I just smelt that. Yeah.
I was born in Rhodesia, but now I live in Transvaal.
Wow, goeie genade. Count me out of that. Just count me out. Folks.
Hold on, Sia. I just want to quickly...
Uh-huh. I just got to get to some of these messages. There's people just giving endless amounts of shit to Gord and Mbulele.
I tried to not have that conversation.
I'm not going to go into it, but we see all your messages. Here's a great point from Carl. Carl says, Gord, I keep a stick of red lipstick in my cubbyhole. When someone stops in the road instead of a parking lot, I write puss on their windscreen.
Dude, I used to do the same thing. I used to keep lipstick. I would write P-L-A-P, park like a puss. So when someone plaps, I would write it in lipstick. Because you can't get that shit off. You need to take it to be professionally cleaned. If you use your windscreen thing and the washy stuff, it just smears and becomes way worse. So literally, if somebody ever writes you're a durse or whatever on your windscreen in lipstick, without cleaning it off, drive to a car wash. Because you can't see if you try to windscreen wipe it.
Yeah, I don't know that that's the best idea.
Oh, that
idea.
Is petty. No.
Listen, I think you also, you'd never know what the customer in question is going through.
Yeah, yeah.
But they might come out and have a golf club in their hand and a particularly bad marriage.
We saw it in Greenside.
I used to do it when I lived in Cape Town, and I was right in the middle of CBD, and we had an underground parking in our building, and there were two exits, and people would, because parallel parking on the roads is the vibe there, and people are so short of parking, they park in the building's exit, and now 150 people can't get their cars out. Then I got the lipstick out, and it was the best.
No, I hear you. I thought that when you mentioned the lipstick, Carl, that you may have been heading towards that you would pretend to be transgender.
Yeah, RuPaul vibes.
Yeah, we all know they have better rights than the rest of us. We know that transgender people can get away with anything.
You can say whatever you want.
Anything.
Anything
you
like.
And if you're in a wheelchair and you're transgender, I want to keep a wheelchair and have that wheelchair sticker on my car, just in case. I can always pretend. And then I can also pretend to be transgender because no one will fuck with you.
Well, I saw
you
a dude in an SUV Jaguar.
Just put on the lipstick. Like, I can be normal. I can wear the clothes I'm wearing today. And then as long as I put lipstick on, then I can claim I'm actually an oppressed woman. And I get away with stuff.
I saw a dude, I think it was yesterday or the day before, in an SUV Jaguar with a wheelchair sticker in the window, park and get out of his car and walk like a miracle. But now, there is a possibility someone else uses the car that's elderly or frail, but probably he looked like just the kind of durse that would do that so that he can have the use of the, what are you allowed to call them now, disabled parking.
Crippled parking.
Yeah,
just the
crippled parking.
Isn't that it?
Jesus.
Just the right amount of douchery. I think that's also politically incorrect.
Isn't that what it's called?
No.
It's not called the cripple parking.
No, it's not called the Gabby parking anymore.
I wear a gourd.
Sorry, where are the Gabby parkings? I've got a sticker. That is terrible.
I read a lot of books when I was
really
a kid.
Bridging.
Kids' books. And they say,
I'm laughing because that is so appalling. I'm not
Johnny.
Co-signing it.
No, hold on. Just I read books. I read books that might have been written in Victorian Britain, for all I know.
Mark Twain books, I'm guessing.
No, but I read a lot when I was a kid, and they always used to say, poor Johnny was a cripple.
Dude, it's terrible. Oh, I can't help laughing, and I wish I was.
I don't know when that word went out of favor, but I don't think it's disparaging.
Oh.
Like, it's just descriptive of a situation.
No, it's disparaging, dude.
Is it? It's not on anymore.
Disabled,
yeah.
I think, is
according
the vibe.
To the National Disability Authority, it is.
On point 9 on 10 reasons why I don't have a handgun
when
is because I would kneecap people.
Who used cripple? No, hold on. We've got to get to the bottom of this. Who used cripple in such a way as for it to become offensive? Like, I know people used to say, oh, you retard. And now that's not allowed.
Sure.
Which
I agree with.
It's insulting.
That's also on the National Disability Authority. I'm not even making this up. I didn't know there was such a thing, but there are terms.
So you can't say retard or cripple. I get retard. I mean, people have used that
disparaging
in the worst way.
Special needs is supposedly also a term not to be used.
Oh, come on.
Handicapped also. What are you meant to
what
use?
What are you supposed to say?
Sorry.
I mean?
Okay, wait. No, that sounds horrible.
Exactly. What are you supposed to use? Like, to refer to someone who needs a special parking because they have a disability. Therefore,
hey.
Oh, no. Use the term disability. Yeah.
Promising career goes
terms.
Down at...
Yeah,
exactly,
use the term
7:27 a.m.
And
what are you meant to say?
Don't use terms like handicapped, differently abled, crippled, victim, retarded, stricken, poor, unfortunate, or special needs.
Stricken.
Rather,
what's wrong with
stricken?
Special needs?
And what about poor?
Most of those
are horrible.
What
about proletariat?
Yeah. Hold on. What
about, are you supposed to say?
Hold on. Just go through that list slowly. Okay. Start again.
So, firstly, they advise on using the term disability.
So disabled.
And they say, take the following terms out of your vocabulary mm-hmm. when talking about or talking to people with disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Words that are better than disability. And please go.
No, words that are worse.
Yeah, yeah, worse. Excuse me.
Number one, handicapped.
Okay, you can't use
handicapped. But disabled and handicapped have similar connotation and kind of mean the same thing.
What about in golf? I mean, are they going to come into a golf game until you can't use it even there?
No, but I mean, I get some of these are literally disparaging, but some of them are in no way worse than disabled.
Let's hear the rest
disabled. Okay, so yeah, sorry, go ahead. Okay.
Number one, handicapped. Mm-hmm. Number two, differently abled.
As opposed to disabled. Differently as opposed to
but
not.
5 years ago, differently abled was totally en vogue. Everybody was saying differently abled. I'm not making this up.
I want to know which asshole decides this. And as part of which committee,
someone.
Based on what qualification.
On. Next one.
Number three, crippled.
I get that. I'm behind that.
Number four, a victim.
Also, yeah, the victim parking wouldn't be so cool to have to park in. Mm.
Because,
that.
I mean, what you know, someone normal does. Yeah, I said normal. That's even worse.
We're batting hot and cold. We're batting hot and cold. That's many metaphors mixed together. But please go on.
Five, retarded.
Totally
we all
agree
on
with that.
Right.
Yeah.
Like cheers. A peas had
I'm
to
on board.
Return. Yeah,
sure.
The next one, stricken.
Yeah,
stricken.
It's just
so. What if I'm grief stricken?
It's just not a very good
grief
word.
Grief stricken
to describe
is one thing,
someone
but
with
don't
a physical limitation.
Yeah.
So that's also it's just it's
Jesus.
Not it's not offensive.
So the guy
it's
crossed
crap.
The street, and I swear I took one look at him. He was definitely stricken. There.
Oh, sorry. Okay, let me rush past this because there are better points to bring up. So don't use poor. Don't use unfortunate. Don't use special needs. On the point of parking. They say refer to parking or accommodations for people with disabilities as accessible rather than places for disabled people or rather for people who are handicapped.
So the accessible parkings as
yes.
opposed to the other 500 in the parking lot that thereby
no,
therefore
no,
are
and
inaccessible.
Gareth,
I'm sorry, this is not on.
And then
accessible,
the last,
no, accessible means it is able to be accessed.
Yes, and all now, of the parkings
that
are less occupied are
zero
also
zero to
accessible.
Do with someone who has a disability.
So to avoid offending anyone with perfectly good words and some horrible ones that mm-hmm. should be on this list, I agree. We're going to use one that absolutely doesn't express the meaning.
Yeah.
Let's call them the left parkings or the yellow parkings
yeah.
or the
you see,
uncle
this is,
parkings.
I've got two problems with this. First of all, that's a shit suggestion, the accessible parkings, because I've seen these parkings where, you know, a mother and her shopping or a person with a pram, for example, can park closer to the entrance than I can, which is nonsense.
Sorry.
That these words are mostly, I get some of them, as we've all discussed, but some of them are absolute nonsense. That is what it is. You describe it like that. There's no better word.
Also, the converse.
And do not tell people what language
with
to
language,
use.
The converse has to come into play. This is why, like, it doesn't get me upset, but I always raise an eyebrow when, like, I'm asked if I want what version of a, say, for example, the chip size at a restaurant, and I'm asked if I want normal. Like regular works, but then the other sizes are irregular. So if do you want a normal one? I'm like, no, I want an abnormal one.
Yeah, where all the chips.
So if it's the accessible
curly and twisted.
Yeah, if it's an accessible parking, therefore the ones that aren't the accessible parkings are the inaccessible parkings.
Okay.
So that means that you can't get to them to park.
Yes.
Let's also compare outdated language to. Current language that you should be using that's more respectful. Outdated, referring to someone as dumb or invalid, but rather they're blind or visually impaired. They are not retarded or slow.
Okay.
They have a learning disability. They aren't psycho, crazy, or insane. They have a mental health disability. They aren't handicapped, special, deformed, crippled, gimped, spastic, spaz, or lame.
It's not funny, but I mean, the fact that it's on a government list, I agree not to use, and Sia himself is trying not to laugh. For those listeners judging us, Sia himself is covering his face and he's vibrating.
I've not used spaz since high school.
Those are terrible words. They're funny because they're so terrible and they're on a government document.
I'm reading the document.
Yes.
So, I'm
shocked by
not
the document.
Handicapped, physically challenged, special deformed, crippled, gimped, spastic, or spaz.
But excuses.
Or lame. Gimped. They have a mobility or physical disability.
Oh, I can and see they are people not loving this because we're laughing at it as if now we think people with disabilities are funny. It's people who write bullshit lists for the government that are funny. Yeah.
They are not retarded or special ed. They have a cognitive disability. And they are not a dwarf or midget, but rather a person with a short stature or a little person.
Wow.
Yeah, I've wondered about that as well. Yeah.
Do you know what that sounds like?
I don't know what to call the disabled parking, and I'm genuinely interested. I'm also interested in what to call little people.
AS asks exactly this. What about midget? Mm-hmm. Are you meant to pronounce it Miget?
Miget, yeah. That's if they're French. That's if they're French, yeah.
But honestly, God, this is so...
get so much shit, you know, for what finding
is?
Funny things
This
funny.
Is so demeaning. Like, having to be on a list and then people must call you this, but they mustn't call you that.
I also
think
how
about let each person decide? If I maybe had only one foot, I might prefer to be called Cripple Gary.
I mean, that is very small.
I might like...
No one's that size, Garrett.
Hold on. I would prefer... You to refer
to be called a micro human.
No. I want you to say
Footloose.
Oh. I want you to say, oh, there goes Cripple Gareth. I don't want you to call me there goes differently abled Gareth. No, but that's
I honestly agree most of these words you shouldn't say, but like who decides
table.
And it's so arbitrary and there's such harmless ones in and amongst the offensive ones.
During a blistering storm, young Cripple John made it through the gates into the orphanage, where
like
he was welcomed into the arms
of
Mother Superior, who called him. She called into the snow. Oh, Cripple John! Oh, Cripple John! We're over here. But you're also differently abled and can't see, so I'm using my voice to call you.
Guys, get the dart gun. We've got to introduce Protocol GC. We're darting Gareth.
And let me just cite this document. Next thing people think that we were taking the piss here. I was honestly reading from the National Youth Leadership Network, which is a voice for young leaders with disabilities.
You know what's disgusting? Is you know there's a type of person that wrote this. It's some... disgusting, privileged white chick who lives in Houghton.
With anxiety.
With she only dates black guys. So there's a type that writes
and she takes away from the actual problems of people who really suffer with anxiety by using that as an excuse to bail anytime something gets difficult or stressful.
And God.
I'm experiencing life. Because it's a bit shit right now.
Yeah.
So, hashtag mental health. Like, no, I know people with fucking anxiety. No. It's a sickness that needs treatment.
I want to be absolutely
clear. You just don't want to deal with stress.
You can put out any list you like, and you can try to regulate people's speech any way you like. But honestly, it comes down to the individual. If you are a good person, what you do is you usually ask that person. Because the most demeaning thing you can do is
to
not treat them as an individual, to think of them in some class of others, like, you know,
and that you have a
differently abled, crippled, blind. How about John or
and
Sarah
for
or
you,
Sven or whatever the guy's
exactly,
name
it's
is.
Exactly, it's for you to decide what that person should or shouldn't be called.
I agree with Mbulelo and Gord. The kind of people who make up these lists are the kind of people who want to regulate the way you speak, because they themselves are so removed from reality.
Yeah.
And
they take away from the real issues that they virtue signal under.
Their quest to be good people and to make the rest of us good people approaches Hitlerian levels.
A very good
of
friend
control.
Of mine sort of coined a term that I said, shit, is that really a thing? And she was like, I don't know, but it should be. Scout badgification.
Ooh.
Hey? Ooh. Scout badgification. Shout outs to my friend Cherie.
My scout badges. Yeah,
Gareth, you raise a good point. The last thing I'll read from this document. They say, refer to a person's disability only when it is related to what you are talking about. For example, don't ask, what's wrong with you? Or don't refer to people in general or generic terms, such as the girl in the wheelchair.
See, haven't we had people in here who've had all kinds of disabilities? People in wheelchairs, people who can't see, people who can't hear, people who can't do certain things because they have disabilities. Have we ever had any of them leave here feeling bad about themselves, the experience, us? Have we ever treated any of them with disrespect?
Even the people are in wheelchairs and we have to pick them up because we don't have a lift.
There's nothing in the world that is worse than these kinds of classifications. It just takes the human out of the story, and it turns you into some kind of bureaucrat who's putting people in categories. It's the worst thing you can do to a person.
Well, you know,
you sexist shit. Here's some messages. Oh, you want to say something?
No, I was just going to say, PC culture, the problem with it is it only deals with semantics. And generally why I say there's this horrid type of academic, rich, generally white, and I didn't know, but actually racist. White women are better at speaking for me as a black man than I've ever known.
Don't you know that?
But what they do in PC culture is you deal with the semantics because it covers the guilt of what's really going on if you really get into it. And you can stay superficial.
In that last thing that Sia read is everything you need to know. Oh. Because she says, or he says, or whoever wrote this, the group of people who wrote this, they say, don't ever refer to their disability unless it is pertinent to the
It's the smartest part of that whole document.
Just pretend that they don't have it. No, that's worse. To pretend
because
that there's nothing
unless
going on.
Well, the point that I get from that, which may not be correct, but the point that I get from that is, if their disability is not relevant to what you're talking about or doing,
but
if they're the chief historian and you're talking to them about history and they have to roll in a wheelchair, no need to bring it up. And I agree with that.
I'm so with you on that front. But what I'm talking about is that they want you to ignore it as if it's not there. Deny the actual reality. Here's some messages from people who are furious about this. Welcome, Gord. Will we see you tonight at the Jojo Rabbit premiere along with silent but loud Bulelo?
I wish I could, but alas, I cannot.
Alas. Even
I am legit stoked. I really do want to go see that movie. It looks awesome. I wish I could catch it, but
even
alas.
I, says Mpihleng, have to be extra careful of the terms I use to describe myself. And let me tell you something. Among ourselves in the disability community, we use all those terms against each other. It's only an offense when you
I had somebody offended on my behalf for referring to myself as fat. And this was a slender person that was like really offended
about it.
And then
you.
They said, just don't be so harsh on yourself, as if I'm having a self-berating, low self-esteem moment. Like, I'm like, what? Are you protecting me from my own feelings?
Yes.
I am empirically fat. A scientist will measure me and say that this human being is more than double the weight and body fat content that a human being should safely be. I deal with it my whole life.
You're not allowed melancholy.
I was made fun of a bit as a kid, but mostly my friends were cool because I'm cool, and they're still mostly my friends.
Right.
I'm fine with it. But if you come to me because we're having a dispute about a parking and lay into me for being fat, as if that's your way of winning the argument about what a durse you are, then I will punch you the same way I would if you called me rotund, plus-sized, girthly challenged, whatever the fuck. Like, I'm fat. Cool. You must deal with it.
Peter Lang says, you all know how I have albinism, nah. Guess what? I got reported by a black person for offensive language after I made a joke and called people albinos.
Well, apparently.
Well,
she's an albino herself.
No, Mpihleng is a he.
Sorry, a he.
Mpihleng's a legend, A. And B, I was literally, without taking the piss, no jokes, I needed to write it into a script. They needed a person with albinism in the script. Yeah. And I was like, what must I write so that the young people don't get upset about it? Like, who do I ask? Who's the virtue signaling expert in dickheadry that wrote this? I'd like to email them and ask them what to put in my script.
Oh, they'll call a meeting and they'll have several weeks of discussions and then they will issue
you. With no albino people in the room, by the way.
They'll send me a thing saying the fact that I...
people with albinism.
The problem is that I needed to put this in a script and that scripts are now misogynistic in general.
I think we should just use a new vocabulary for disabilities because any words we use now are tainted. Perhaps use cool names like wheels for wheelchair-able folks or stilts for crutch-enabled people. Gareth, on the handicap names, it's part of our new culture. Did you see the need to call people who failed matric that they insufficiently achieved, as mentioned by the education professors recently?
Uh-uh.
They insufficiently achieved. They're not failures.
It's like, you're not a loser, you're just a non-winner.
Jesus, that's horrible.
No, that's ridiculous.
So much worse. I hate the privilege of the disabled. Oh, here's an angry person. This is from Guillermo. Guillermo says, I use their toilets all the time. I printed a disabled logo and had it laminated, so now I park in their parking. Fuck the disabled. They sometimes park in mine.
Yo. Okay. Well, I mean, I distance myself from the comments of Guillermo.
Yeah, Guillermo.
Bet you go when you know it's not your turn at a four-way stop, Guillermo.
So here's one last comment on this, and then we've got to get to Grovest this morning. Daniel says, very odd thing here in Dubai. Disabled people are referred to as people of determination.
Oh, your wow. People of courage.
What if I'm a person people with a disability? Strength. Actually, I'm not even joking. It's in the guideline. It's what? In there.
Oh, hit me with
just
it.
To because, use it or not use it.
Just because someone has a disability doesn't mean he or she is courageous, brave, special, or superhuman. People with disabilities are the same as everyone else. It is not unusual for someone with a disability to have talents, skills,
an alien,
and abilities.
If I were an alien and I landed and I read that document as a bit of my prep to get into human culture. Do you know what I would do after reading that? This is the sad thing.
You would start referring to yourself as an alien and call yourself planetarily challenged.
Probably, but I would also avoid people with disabilities at every opportunity.
Yeah, because it's so awkward. Complicated. It's awkward.
They've made it so complicated, you can't be person and person.
Yeah, and if
you have to be completely different scales. Don't use this word. Don't use that
there's
word.
A degree, oh, there's a oh degree God, of sensitivity oh. needed. There's a degree of sensitivity needed. Like, I get if you're a slender person and you want to refer to a fat person, maybe say, like, overweight, or, like, you know, it might be uncomfortable for you to say the term, but you may not tell me whether I can use it or not.
But come on, person with determination. Yeah, I just happened to be in a car accident, good. And now I can't use my legs.
I'm a white woman that dates only black guys. I think I know what fat people
and
are
And one of your
through.
Besties is a fat bastard.
There it's you have it.
All so. About the love.
JP saying this morning, what about a slow cooker instead of a retard?
Dude,
okay,
no.
Time for
that note.
Toughest finale.
That's, yeah, we can't.
Grovis, you said.
Yeah, we can't get any further into this no. than that. Thank you, JP, you disgusting human being.
A right. person of what, like, niceness limitation.
Yeah, you person of a severe niceless, a niceness
deficit. No, deficit. That's very slanderous to mean people. That's very mean to mean people. We need to call them charm limited individuals. Pleasantness deficient. No, deficient's a bad word. Fuck. What is a nice way to refer to cock people?
Look on the website. This
person of the penis. person of the penis persuasion. Now that implies homosexuality. God's sake. What is a nice way to call people mean?
Fuck you.
We need to get a hold of the person that wrote this and find out what we can and can't say. Because God knows this particular episode of the podcast is in violation of everything. All the rules.
Yeah.
And I'd like to distance myself from the comments of the show. Yeah. I'm merely here to comment. And my comment is, this was a bit swag.
The views expressed. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I would like to say that we are a disability-friendly environment. Mm-hmm. And if you are disabled in any which way, mm-hmm. you should feel free, especially if you have a speech impediment, to be a part of this show anytime you choose, because and we find speech impediments enriching.
Unless you're voluntarily disabled.
To the tapestry of our various ways of expressing
unless you're
ourselves.
Voluntarily disabled, like a born-again Christian or a Liverpool supporter or a flat earther or a person who likes Gwyneth Paltrow or a David Avocado Wolf believer.
Thank you very much, Gord. Thank you very much, Mbulelo. Thank you, Sia and Fundo. And most especially, thank you to you.
Yes, for putting up with us this long, if you have. Indeed.
You unique individual person.
Special.
Magical in your own way.
Special.
No, celebratory. You. Celebration you. Worthy in your own way. Unique way. That you can use your own words to describe yourself unless it bothers someone else, in which case... Don't be fat. Be rotund.
Let's all have a happy day. It's Wednesday. Coming up in a moment, our next episode in our series with Grovest, where we tell you about Section 12J companies. Very important. You want to know where to put your money? Tax-free savings? This is the place to go. And we've been talking to the experts in this. You can find out more in today's episode. Let me tell you who's coming up, just so you know exactly what's going on. Amaresh Chetty is the fund manager of something called the Pepper Club Invest Fund. They have properties, which you may have heard of, in Cape Town, among other things. And he will tell you a little bit about that and how you could become an investor in that property and in many others. Take a listen to this. CliffCentral.com. It is time for another episode of our series with Grovest, which is all about filling you in on Section 12J, and a lot of people are interested in this at the moment. It was, of course, legislated by the South African government to encourage taxpayers in South Africa to invest in local companies and receive 100% tax deduction of the value of their investment. Now, the investor in return receives a Section 12J tax certificate and venture capital shares, the invested amount can then be deducted from the investor's taxable income in the year in which the investment is made. Now, whether you're interested in setting up, looking for someone to finance or administer your venture capital company, CliffCentral.com has discovered a company called Growvest, and they can help you to be your innovative Section 12J specialist, corporate advisory, and finance partner. Now, today, I'm joined by fund manager Amaresh Chetty, who's here to tell us more about something called Pepper Club. Amaresh, nice to see you.
Thanks for having me on the show.
No problem at all. So, Section 12J, we found out a little bit in the last couple of weeks about what exactly it is. But what is Pepper Club Invest?
So, Pepper Club Invest is a Section 12J VCC company with a focus on hospitality.
Ah.
So, and our initial
asset... It's one of the sectors that 12J is particularly focused on.
Correct, because it's the only one that really has a real estate underpin.
Right.
And so they've been popular.
Right. So exactly what does Pepper Club mean and do, and where is it located, and, you know, who's running this?
So apart from being the fund manager, I'm actually a director of the company.
Ah.
So I can tell you all about the team in a bit.
Sure.
The initial asset is a 5-star hotel in Cape Town called the Pepper Club, hence the name. It's in the middle of the Cape Town CBD, so very well located, accessibility to things like Table Mountain and the waterfront, and has hosted international stars, hosted people like Netflix shooting movies. It's a wow. Nice property.
Fantastic. How long ago was it acquired, and how long has it been running?
So it was... We'll talk about the acquisition in a bit, right? But it was opened in 2010, so it was obviously built before that. It started taking in guests in March 2010.
Okay.
So it's got a 10-year track record. It's been profitable every one of those 10 years.
Amazing.
It runs average 60% occupancies. It was profitable through the drought when tourist numbers dipped in Cape Town. So it's a nice property.
Fantastic. With a track record like that, I'm sure that there's no problem attracting investors.
There's been good interest, but we're helping people in their interest by saying, if you'd like to invest, one of the unique selling points about this particular 12J, and I do think it's unique because I'm not aware of any of the other 160-plus 12Js doing this, we'll finance your subscription, so I actually don't need you to part with any money.
Wow. It always sounds almost too good to be true.
Don't say that.
Well, you know, that's what people do when they hear something that's as good a deal as this. I mean, there are already benefits to S12J, and I think a lot of people are already aware of those. And I mentioned briefly that the tax benefit is obviously one big reason for people to do it.
Yeah.
But if you can invest in something that is going to deliver a nice return, that's a bonus.
So, if we talk about the returns, we've got a financial return over the period of your investment. And when we say the period, as a lot of people listening will be aware, you're required to hold these shares for 5 years, else there's recoupment.
Mm-hmm.
Over that period, given that it's got this track record, we're comfortable offering a guaranteed operating yield of 7.6% over the period. And then on the non-financial side, we're also happy to throw in a few free room nights for our shareholders every year.
Oh, wow, that's a nice bonus. Because I think people would like to know that they can also go and check out their investment and experience it. It is the kind of investment where you actually can get in and feel and touch and taste and smell and see.
I mean, most people who are going to invest in this will either go to Cape Town for a holiday or on business.
Yeah.
At which point... use our free nights.
Fantastic. Just tell me, you mentioned the team.
So there are two teams really that have come together to bring this product to market. One is the Solomon Brothers Property Group out of Cape Town. Mm-hmm. They're three brothers, David, Jeffrey, and Irving. They've got a 40-year track record in real estate. They've got a multi-billion rand portfolio in the Cape. The Promenade Shopping Center in Camps Bay, which I'm sure people are very familiar with, is theirs. This hotel, they've got an office block. The Pinnacle Advocates Chambers in Cape Town is owned by them. They've got some apartment hotel offering behind the lighthouse in Mullie Point called Versailles. So 40 years in track record, big portfolio, and listed company experience. They've been on the boards of Arnold Property Fund once upon a time, as well as on the board of Redefine.
Sure.
The other part of the team is Grovest, who you mentioned previously. I'll talk about Jeff Miller. Jeff has started multiple companies, and I suppose if we talk about his listed experience, he's been part of the team that listed Brand Corp on the JSE in 1997, took it private in a 1.4 billion rand management buyout. I'm on the board. I was a director of the National Lottery until very recently. I've previously been involved in a number of empowerment deals, including in the property sector.
So in other words, I mean, this is an experienced team. They know what they're doing. It's not like you've got a group of inexperienced people off the street who are going to be running this investment for you. But Jeff, we've spent quite a lot of time with too. And obviously from a Grovest point of view, he's probably one of the most knowledgeable people when it comes to 12J.
Yeah, I mean, Grovest were the pioneers. Yeah. Grovest must administer 40 of the VCCs in the market and have 1.4 billion rand under management.
Amazing. So what are the unique selling points of this particular fund?
So the most unique selling point is the fact that we have a pre-approved line of funding available for investors. So in essence, a person that's interested to invest, or a company for that matter, doesn't need to part with a cent. We'll finance the subscription 100%. The terms of the finance are also very attractive. We'll lend you that money at prime with no share in the upside. So all the upside is yours. I mean, and prime is a very good rate.
And what if I'm one of those negative people who says, tell me about the downside?
There are those people. And in that case, we're happy to give you a put agreement to sell your shares back to us. You know, I don't think I necessarily want to go into all of that now, but for sure there's a put, and you can exit back to us, and your downside is capped.
Fantastic. How do potential investors qualify?
All you need to have is taxable income, because, of course, the big incentive here is to reduce or eliminate your taxes. And you need to be prepared to subscribe for a minimum of 1 million rand worth of shares. Mm-hmm. That's not the max. The maximum, of course, is now 2.5 million or 5 million, depending whether you're a person, a trust, or a company.
Right. What is the key asset behind this fund, the actual property?
The actual property is the Pepper Club. As I said, it's a 5-star hotel in the middle of Cape Town. It runs good occupancies, has a great track record. The property itself is a 22-story tower that covers almost an entire city block. It's between Loop and Long, and Pepper Street cuts across the side of it. In terms of facilities, of course, it's got a spa, pool, conference center, in-house theater, which is why it's hosted lots of people from the movie industry. They get to, whatever they're shooting, they get to use the theater. I mean, in fact, anyone could use the theater. If you were checked in and wanted to watch a movie, you could do it.
And I mean, anything else you'd expect from a 5-star hotel. So we're not...
Correct, yeah.
We're not messing around. How do investors sign up?
Firstly, you could call us at the office on 011-2626-433 and ask for Katlego. Mm-hmm. Alternatively, you could just email Katlego directly on Katlego. That's KATLEGO at pepperclubinvest.co.za. Or you can just go to the website, which is www.pepperclubinvest.co.za. You know, all the documents are there, including the subscription agreements, a very detailed info memo, and then get hold of one of us after that, and the contact details are on the website.
Is there a deadline?
There is a deadline. That deadline is the 21st of Feb, because, of course, the tax year is the end of Feb, and we need a few days for FICA, etc.
Sounds like a very good deal. Okay, so I'm excited about this. Pre-approved financing, 100% tax deductible, no cash outlay, a guaranteed minimum average yield of 7.6% per annum for those 5 years that you're invested. Projected internal rate of return 18.7, 5-star hotel. You get a couple of rooms. How often is that?
You get 6 room nights per 1 million rand. Fantastic. So assuming you came in as an individual for 2.5, you'd get 15 room nights. And there are almost no blockout periods. Long weekends, school holidays, you can have it all. There's only two times in the year we can't give it to you. And that's the first week of Feb when the mining in Daba runs, because it's completely full. And this is also how you get part of your return.
Sure.
And then the 20th of December to just about the 10th of Jan. But, I mean, literally right up to the 16th of December, if it falls on a long weekend and you want to, we'll give you the rooms.
So what's the plan for this long term? I mean, are we talking about a potential exit at some point in the near future?
So there are probably three options on the exit. The first option is a trade sale. Some hotel group wants a hospitality asset or portfolio of them in Cape Town. We've got this five-star property going in, and of course the sunset clause is 2021, so we have plans to put more assets in. So then there'd be a nice portfolio of Cape Town hospitality assets in the vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
The second option is we could well list. I've just told you David and Jeffrey were on the board of APROP and Redefine, and Jeff's had his own experience listing. We think a listing is not inconceivable.
Right.
It's probably very real, actually. And the last option is that the property that's going in is actually unencumbered. There is no bond on it. So in a worst case, we could actually just raise a bond on the property and buy back the shares of those people who actually want to get out.
Be a valuable property.
Yeah. We've got a valuation on it now of $500 million. It's 496 million, some change. And the valuation is available for inspection by anyone that wants it. It was done by an independent firm of Quantry Surveyors, ACOM.
Amazing. Well, thank you very much, Amaresh, for talking to us this morning. And with all the information you need to know about Section 12J, you can find out more by listening to the rest of the episodes in this series. Since 2009, Section 12J has been part of South Africa's tax landscape. It is a critical piece of legislation that provides strong incentives for investors to help uplift and grow local SMEs. With just over 6 billion rand under management and over 160 12J funds in existence, thousands of investors have injected capital into local SMEs that play in sectors ranging from hospitality, which we've just discussed now, to tourism and renewable energy, and many more. In return, every Section 12J investor receives an immediate tax deduction equal to 100% of the amount that they've invested in the first year of their investment. Added to this, 12J funds typically have regular investment returns in the form of, examples, dividends, which we've just discussed too. So thank you very much for clearing that up for us. Sounds like a great opportunity. If you want to find out more, you can find all the details on cliffcentral.com too.
Cliffcentral.com.